six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the Real Bourbon Bros podcast, the essential podcast for the novice yet curious whiskey enthusiast. Giddy up. All right, guys, welcome back to the Real Bourbon Bros podcast. Tonight, we have a very special guest, and we'll introduce him in a minute. But first off, I want to say hi. I'm Gary. Steve, my brother.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Hi. Hi today.
Steve's been a little under the weather, a little head cold, but he's rallying, so we'll rally with him. Our special guest tonight is Kyle Henderson. I'm sure those who know the bourbon industry know that last name. Kyle is the Director of Operations at Sega Spirits and TKC Distilling, son of Wes and grandson of Lincoln Henderson. For those in the business, you should know who those people are. If not, stay tuned. We'll discuss. So, Kyle, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. How are you tonight?
Yeah, welcome, Kyle.
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm sure you get the question all the time about your dad and your grandfather. Does it ever become kind of annoying after a while?
No, never, all those questions? Never. So I mean, I come from a big family. People, especially in the industry, you know, knew my grandfather because he wasn't really like a public-facing person until, you know, the late 90s. Prior to that, I mean, he'd been in the industry for 30-plus years at that point already. So industry side, everybody knew him.
Right.
Super friendly. Never met a person he didn't like. Similar with my dad, although my dad was much more public on the public side of things.
Definitely, he's
definitely out there, out and about. You know, meeting the people, shaking the hands.
Master of all trades too.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's done a lot. If you guys talk to him,
you
know, for an hour, you've heard all kinds of stories out of him. So.
Yeah, we probably at. Go ahead, Steve.
We would just keep finding more and more things about him. You know. Fireman, or no, he was in the
responder.
EMT.
Pilot.
Pilot.
Coroner. Now real estate mogul.
What can you say? I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And for those folks who are listening, who are maybe novices who don't know who Lincoln Henderson or Wes Henderson are. Lincoln Henderson, obviously, Kyle's grandfather, very famous in the whiskey industry, obviously, with Gentleman Jack and Woodford Reserve. Those are the two big ones.
Those are the two everybody, you know, knows about. But he was at Brown-Forman for 9 years, long time.
Okay. And then, obviously, your father, Wes, Angel's Envy, kind of, I would say, be the grandfather of the finished, modern finished bourbon and rye. And we both love the Angel's Envy rye.
Yeah.
Like that was, it's another level, one of our favorites of all time. So
I've yet to get my hands on the cask strength, though.
I don't have a connection anymore. I can't help
it. I wasn't ready. Trying anything there. I was just mentioning that.
Sure, Steve. You gotta watch it.
I are fans.
You might as well ask.
And you know, we love. I see that bottle occasionally.
Yeah. Well, they redid the bottle. I think this year, this past release.
Yeah.
I'd be happy. It is beautiful. Something actually, I was working on when I was there. They had been working on it for several years, and it takes a lot of time to bring new stuff to market. You know, redesigns or whatever. So it's cool to see some of the projects that were going on after I left the company. Now coming out into the fold, which is really neat.
And Kyle, don't want to glaze over this either. I know we talked about your grandfather and your father a little bit, but you actually worked at Angel's Envy as well for what, about 12 years or so, different roles there?
A little over 12 years, yep.
Okay. And you were kind of operations development manager. What else did you kind of do?
A little bit of everything, huh? My role was operations development, which is, you know, kind of like a continuous improvement, process improvement, you know, training new people. I started my career there as the blending and bottling manager. So I took over, you know, when I came on, I kind of was learning under my grandfather. So I was fortunate enough to work with him for 3 years until he passed away while I was with Angel's Envy. We, you know, managed the blending. We had a contract co-packer facility that we used, and I worked with them religiously to blend product, do, you know, manage finishing, packaging. And then work with one of our other operations managers to open our own bottling facility, design our distillery.
Nice.
When the distillery opened, that operations manager left after about 6 months. And then I stepped in and, as the distillery manager because I spent the last, 3 years designing and building it with him. And I was a distillery manager for, almost 5 years.
Okay.
I was senior blender, so I was in charge of all the liquid development innovation on the ground operations side. And at that point, I kind of touched all of the, facility manufacturing operations, and I was moving and transitioning into a new role. And my, my dad reached out and said, "Hey, we might have something else going on." And I was like, I've been with Angels Envy for, at that point, 12 years.
Yeah.
And I was ready for a change, I stepped over in March of 23. So it's been about 18 months now. Took over for operations for TKC Saga Spirits. And that's what we're doing today.
Yeah. And if I didn't mention this earlier, I apologize. The new line of whiskeys is True Story.
Right.
True story.
Yeah.
And we have some samples tonight. Thank you again, Kyle. Finished rye and a finished bourbon. So we kind of continued the Angels Envy theme of finished spirits that I would say your family's known for this point, right?
We were, my dad and I talk about this kind of now. We were a little timid about, kind of claiming that, like you said, the kind of the grandfather of finished whiskeys. But when you really look back, it's been, almost 15 years now. And you look back, there were a few limited releases. Beam did one early in the 90s, like 92, 93. And they actually were pretty good. We've gotten a hold of them, but the market wasn't ready for it. Mm. And it didn't do well commercially. Mm. We were absolutely the first to have, a commercially viable, successful
brand. Success. Yeah.
And, at this point, I think you guys, you see the market probably more than I do. If you're making whiskey, you have a finished whiskey in your portfolio at this point.
Everywhere.
And it's really cool to see, we were the only ones doing it. And there was people going, that's not going to last. That's not whiskey. That's not bourbon, whatever. And now those same people are all doing it too.
Yeah. And I still see those comments and hear those comments too from reviews. Like you watch any of these Yahoos on, YouTube with a, whiskey channel. That's,
Well, I'll throw this one out there because we work on this, both at Angels Envy and here, even with our team, we are not a bourbon. We are a bourbon that's been finished. And that's a really important distinction because we've taken that bourbon and done an additional step to it.
Yep.
And it doesn't make it a bad thing. It doesn't make it less than it was. It's just a different process. It's
different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that you made a distinction there. Is there anything that does not make it a bourbon by law then?
Yes, the secondary finishing process. I am no longer, I want to say the category is 141. According to the TTB, the Tax and Trade Bureau, they categorize whiskeys. So in the bourbon category specifically, if you add a secondary cask to it that had anything in it before, or that isn't oak, it automatically becomes a distilled spirit specialty, a class 641. And that's what we're categorized. That's what Angels Envy was categorized. If you go look at the label approvals, it's public record. Any bourbon that goes into a secondary barrel should be a category 641. Now, what has changed in the last couple of years is other whiskey categories no longer separate that way. So our rye whiskey is a straight rye whiskey, and then it goes into the Ambarana and sherry cask, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But 5 or 6 years ago, if we had filed that with the TTB, they would have said, "Oh, that's a distilled spirit specialty, class 641. Mm-hmm. We're no longer that. We are a rye whiskey. Finished rye whiskeys, by definition, are just rye whiskeys now, which is really cool. That over the last 15 years, the way the TTB interprets these things have changed. They will be hopefully making the same change to bourbon. They'll be adding a finished bourbon category under the bourbon category.
That's what my question was,
It's been up for debate and review for them for a few years. And, we're us and many other people are in constant discussion with them on, let's make this a real thing. Let's make it its own category. Because at this point, it's a category. It's not a fad anymore. It's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure.
I like it.
With anything that's related to like bureaucracy, I'm sure it'll take a while. So
I'll be retired before it's done. But
I think everyone still refers to them as bourbons, finished bourbons.
Yeah, and we do
throw that bourbon
in our bottle. On our bottle, it says finished bourbon.
Yeah,
And we're okay with that because, you know, yes, it's a bourbon, but it's been finished. As long as they're telling you what we're doing, and we have to on the label, you know, we're being very clear with who we are. It's a bourbon that's not finished.
Yeah. I definitely like to, we'll get into the true story, the bourbon in the rye here in a little bit. I just want to kind of take a step back though, if you don't mind, and indulge us with growing up and how that was with your father and your grandfather around. Because your dad tells us a story. We were like asking, like, how did you figure out like this cask would work good and this finish would work? Like, he's like, oh yeah, like we just, you know, have wine bottles around the dinner table, and we would say, hey, this would be good with. I'm like, that was a lot different than how my brother and I grew up at our dinner.
May or may not consume a lot of beverage alcohol, I guess.
I'm curious from your perspective how that was, like what your perspective was from that, because I think that's a unique perspective.
Yeah,
at least from our point of view.
Like drinking wine at the dinner table when you're 10, you know.
they just, it is what it is. It's normal.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't really think one thing or another about it. You know, I didn't really have any particular interest in it. You know, growing up, mentioned my grandfather Lincoln. Mm-hmm. He was one of the key members that started the Woodford Reserve brand. He was our master distiller with Dave Shurick and Kevin and Peggy and a few of those people. Brought that old distillery and brought this new brand to life. They didn't call it the Woodford Reserve Distillery. It was the LeBrow and Graham Distillery for the longest time. And really not until the last 10 or 15 years did they change the name to Woodford. But my grandfather called it L&G. And he would say it quick, and he'd be like, L&G, just like the letter L, the letter N, the letter G, just shortening LeBrow and Graham. So forever, and this is giving me some background, the electrical municipality in Louisville is called LG&E, Louisville Gas and Electric. Okay. When I was a kid, I thought he worked at the power plant because he kept saying L&G. I'm like, oh, that's LG&E. He's saying it differently. I am dead serious. For many, many years, I have no idea he made whiskey. I thought he worked for the power.
Hilarious.
As I got older and kind of discovered what he did, I was in college when I – not sorry, not in college, in high school, when I really had an understanding. And, you know, he was approaching his retirement from Brown-Forman. I had an understanding of what he was doing. Still, you know, didn't necessarily think it was the coolest thing in the world. But he was like, oh, yeah, my grandfather makes whiskey. You know, cool. I wanted to be a doctor. You know, I was studying to be an orthopedic surgeon. Okay. I was a home health aide. I did dual enrollment in high school. I got my CNA license and home health aide license and worked in a nursing home in my senior year of high school. So, you know, I wanted to be in the medical field.
Getting your hours.
Still love it. Still love it. But, when I got into college, was studying for MCATs, got through Organic Chemistry 1, struggled a little bit in Organic Chemistry 2, and my dad had called me, so this was 2009, and was like, hey, you know, they had just moved back to Kentucky from Florida. We were living in Florida at the time.
Yep.
And he said, hey, you know, why don't you come up and give us a hand with some stuff? You know, and at that point, it was the farthest away I'd been from my family. I'm the oldest of six boys.
Right.
I enjoyed spending time with my family, with my brothers.
Nice.
And so I came up and help them, you know, ideate some things, fill some barrels. I was a grunt. I was just, you know, absorbing things.
Right.
Went back to school for a semester, and I was like, what the hell am I doing down here? And so in 2010, I moved up, left Florida State, transferred to U of L, Louisville, and got, you know, part-time involved with Angel's Envy, what became Angel's Envy.
Right.
But actually, my first job in the industry was – ironically, at Woodford Reserve. I applied for a job there on the bottling line as like a part-time bottling operator.
Nice.
And spent 5 or 6 months there bottling products, learning
a lot. Right? Good to know the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, filled the first barrels. And then the rest is, you know, kind of what we talked about. Took over processing, blending, all of that. But, I mean, realistically, you know, in college, that's when it was cool because everyone was like, oh, we're drinking – you know, this whiskey or that whiskey. And my dad was working at another whiskey brand called Echo Ridge at the time. And I was like, oh yeah, my dad's like the president of this company. I was like, oh yeah, no big deal. And all my college friends are like, wait, what? Like, your family make what? So I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, transitioning into actually do it myself. But no, when I was a kid, no idea.
Yeah. So the process of like picking out the finishing decisions for like the Angel's Envy products, Was that all your father, or was that a collaborative?
The first two releases, the core flagship bourbon that's in port barrels, and then the rye whiskey and the rum casks.
Right.
That was my grandfather and then my dad. So my grandfather had that idea of Brown-Forman. It didn't really go anywhere. We talked about it earlier. You know, the market wasn't quite ready for it.
Right.
He, as far as I can remember, he talked about they actually did a port finished experiment at Woodford in like the late 90s.
I wonder where those barrels are.
You know, I'm sure they're somewhere. They've probably made it somewhere. You know, they may be in one of the plant managers, you know, barns or something.
You should check your dad's garage, maybe.
Oh, you know. and he said, you know, they just didn't think it was going to go anywhere. So he brought one of the many ideas that he brought with him was this port finish. And that's what we went with Angel's Envy. And obviously, you know, it was wildly successful.
Successful, yeah.
And then my dad came along and we knew we wanted to do a rye whiskey and he wanted to find something unique. Rye is known for its spiciness, its, you know, grainy spiciness, character, peppery, whatever. So he was thinking, all right, what kind of contrasts with that that we can play and marry together?
Yeah.
And we were in a liquor store in Chicago called Beverage Warehouse down in the Loop downtown. And oh my goodness, I'm gonna blank on the guy's name, but he's amazing, the owner of it. And we told him, hey, you know, we're looking for maybe a sweeter rum that could potentially pair with this rye whiskey. And he went, I've got something for you. And we tasted like five or six rums. And, oh, okay, these are good. He goes, wait, I got one more. This is a newer one. And he brought up this bottle of the Plantation XO, which is the rum that's finished in the Pierre Franc cognac barrels. And we went, oh, my God, that's really good. Picked up the phone, found out who the distributor was. My dad had Alexandra fly over from France. We had breakfast with him and he goes, oh yeah, I'll give you some barrels. And we got some barrels, we put some rye in there, tasted it and went, oh my God, that's really good. And then from there that took off. And then, so those are the two flagships, my grandfather and my dad. And then beyond that, you know, kind of as a group, you know, my dad and I, we did the sherry finish.
Yeah.
We did the tawny finish.
That's my favorite.
And then I did the Mizanara finish. That was, I think, the third or fourth one we did. I actually started that project in 2013.
Wow.
Started trying to import the Mizanara oak into the U.S. And it took me 5 years to get it to the U.S.
Yeah.
And then we did a two-year finish. So that was the first one I did, you know, entirely on my own.
Very cool. Yeah.
And then Andrew did the apple ice wine. Was it apple cider wine?
Okay.
I can't remember what it was. But the, you know, really unique finish for the rye whiskey. So yeah, it's collaborative.
Right. Very, that's very awesome. Cool. That's like
how True Story came out. You know, we've got two finished whiskeys. We've got the finished bourbon that's in the white Muscatel barrel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a group, the seven of us kind of talked through it. We tried different wines. We tried different spirits. You know, I work with my barrel broker. I work with, actually a local person, Jess, she's been married now, Jess Zimlick now.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped us source, you know, a few different wines and we really settled on that white Muscatel for the bourbon. And then the Ambarana and sherry finish was something I had ideated years and years ago. And we just had the time and the ability to do it. And it turned out really nicely.
Yeah, exactly. That is a transition to the, True Story, the bourbon and the rye here. So how long are these finished, for?
So the bourbon, is 5 and 6 year old bourbon.
Okay.
And then it's finished for anywhere from 3, 4, 5, or 6 months.
Okay.
Really depends on the season. So right now we're leaving summer. 2, 3, 4 months is ideal.
Okay.
As we head into winter, just from experience, we know that especially with a fortified wine barrel, you're going to have to go a little bit longer. It's colder. You're not getting much penetration. So you'll be approaching that 6 months. That's kind of why we say up to 6 months, because it's really a seasonal process.
Mm-hmm.
But for the one you guys have in front of you, that's actually from our very first bottling. That was about 3.5 months.
I'm going to pour myself a little bourbon.
Oh, I've got it.
You're talking about it, and I was just getting all excited over here looking at it. I'm like, you know, it's time to give a little sample and try this for the first time and see what we think. Because we, like I said earlier, we love anything finished. And obviously with this brand new line coming out, we're super excited to try it. And I know we'll get to this later, but in terms of timeline for distribution, I know you're Tennessee and Kentucky right now.
Yep.
Starting out there. And then what about statewide? When's your goal for that?
So we're adding 8 more markets next year.
Okay.
Big ones being Florida, Texas, and California.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm in Florida. He's in Michigan.
Nothing in Michigan.
Hey, we like Michigan. Michigan's on our plan. I think 26 or 27. I like Michigan. Michigan's an interesting state, and my mom's family's from Michigan.
Nice.
So where in Michigan are you?
Ann Arbor-ish.
Ann Arbor. Okay. Is there any Hollywood grocery stores there?
No.
Have you heard of Hollywood Grocery?
Never heard of Hollywood.
Oh, well.
Seen a lot of grocery stores.
So on the Detroit side, like northern Detroit, my mom's family owned a small chain of grocery stores up there. So we always support the state and with them, and we've got great relationships with them as well. So
Sterling Heights, Utica area.
I'm trying to see. So they've got St. Clair Shores is where they're from originally, and they've kind of just expanded all over the place, Lake Orion, that kind of area.
Okay, yeah. I have to remember that.
Hollywood. We know that area.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
So,
but, yeah, I'm not in that area. I mean,
yeah, you're a little the other
west.
I drive through that area up to the thumb area. Could we have a place?
That's right. I forgot. I forgot the whole mitten thing. Yeah.
The whole
where are you?
Area,
where are you but, from?
Yeah. Yeah, we grew up there where the index finger is.
Yeah, we grew up way up here, northern by Mackinac Bridge, way up in the boondocks, as they say.
Not familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, a small little town out in the middle of nowhere. So.
Yep.
We've come a long way.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
So, Kyle, I just gave myself a first sip of the bourbon here.
Yeah.
I smell. I can smell. I mean, you had that white how do you say, Moscato?
Muscatel.
Muscatel.
Mm-hmm.
It influenced my brain, I think, a little bit on the nose.
You got a little bit through the stuffiness, then. It was that good.
That's it was.
And just for the folks listening, this is bottled at 90 proof.
90 proof.
90 proof. Okay, so that's a good starting point, I think. You know, I like anything 90 to 110 typically. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get into the 120s, sometimes unless it's a really good quality product, sometimes that heat is just.
It's a little much. It can be. Yep, yeah. I agree. With that.
Especially if you're sipping it. You know.
I can't imagine this being more, Gary. I can't imagine this being more like over 100, 110. Mm-hmm. That would be fire.
Yep. It's not bad. You know, the wine really brings some softness to it, but it works better at, you know, 88 to 92, 93, which is kind of why we settled on that 90. We wanted it to be approachable. We want it to be something that you can sip, you can put in a cocktail, you can put on ice. You know, it doesn't matter if the bottle is warm, if it's cold, it's drinkable no matter how it's served because of that proof point and the way we filter it. So
yeah, exactly. And for my first few sips here, obviously it's the first whiskey of the night, so it's, you know, get the palate, you know, ready for the whiskey.
Yeah.
But the second sip, definitely it's well balanced, like you said. Mid palate especially, start really noticing that wine influence there, those casks. But front palate and nose, I get a little more of the bourbon, but it's well balanced. And sometimes with, you know, finished products, you don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, that finish.
Oh, yes.
I don't feel that at all with the bourbon. I think it's well balanced. I'm going to have that one more sip for
or like two or three more.
Yeah, I'm dying to try the Ambrano and Sherry cast. I mean, that just the description there. I'm really excited to try that.
Yeah, this could be a really good sipper, the bourbon for sure. It's just
because
with like I said earlier, with sometimes with these finished products, unless you get it right, you know, if you get it wrong and then it's like one off and you're like, I'm good. But this, I think you could definitely have a few drams, you know, a few pours a night and not get tired of it at all. So I think it's well balanced. It's a good proof at the 90 proof, and I enjoy it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Rather spicy too.
It's got a little bit of warmth on it. So the mash bill on this one is 75% corn, 21% rye, 4% malt.
Well, we were going to ask that, but we don't know if it was like a trade secret. Sometimes they
No. So, you know, we talked about the brand being True Story. I guess now's a good time to kind of talk a little bit about where that came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was one of my questions.
So, you know, my dad and I, when we travel around, mostly my dad, because he was out in market a lot more than I was, has just had a lot of encounters with people when he was, you know, promoting Angel's Envy, promoting, you know, other whiskeys that he worked for, other spirits in general, where they kind of go around and come up to him and go, Wes, you know, I did ABC, you know, I got a hold of your bottle, at my wedding. I got a hold of your bottle at when I got promoted. Oh, I went home and had to drink Angels in Me when I got fired. One of my dad's, you know, favorite part of that words, something he tells very often because it's very moving for him is he was able to supply a bottle to a member in the military. He was coming home from Iraq via his wife. His wife had him sign it and communicated back to the guy. I don't know if he connected with him or it was, you know, on Facebook or had met him in person at an event. And he goes, oh, I got your bottle, but I couldn't open it because we were waiting for the rest of my group that he was deployed with to come home. And we were hosting in honor of those who didn't make it back. That's kind of like, you know, when you sit down and think about it, you go, people drink, you know, whether it's whiskey or tequila, whatever it is, in our case, whiskey, at the moments that really matter in their lives, whether it's hosting an honor of somebody and celebration of something. Right. And there's a story about that product. You know, you sit down, you're drinking with friends, with family, with enemies, with whatever it is. and it kind of just changes things. And, you know, okay, think about this. So you're sitting down, you're, you know, BSing with the guys around a fire drinking whiskey. How many times does somebody go, hey, true story, listen to this. spew some absolute, you know,
BS,
pile of crap. You're like, what? And he goes, nah, it's a true story. So we kind of took that and wanted to play with that is, you know, whether it's a legitimate true story or if it's more of a true story.
Yeah, stretch.
Right, yeah. True story?
Yeah. We've taken that from both the ideation and the fun playness of the brand, but also to our production. I'll tell you what the mashbill is. We'll talk about where the whiskey's coming from. It is a source whiskey right now. You know, we don't have a distillery. We'll talk about that later, you know, the new distillery we're building. But, you know, we're sourcing the whiskey. And the beauty of that is we've got some incredible connections in the industry of access to some wonderful products that we're able to source, blend. In this case, it's from the bourbon's from three different distilleries. We're blending it and then finishing it and then blending the finishing barrel. So we have a lot of control over our product, even though we don't physically distill it right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask that too about where you get it sourced from, but
we'll talk about it. So the bourbon is coming from Green River, from BBC, and from Barton.
What was the last one? I'm sorry.
Barton.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now, Kyle. I mean, when they were sitting around the fire, you know, they could say true story. Let's open a bottle of true story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True story. All right, I got one right here. Yeah. Perfect.
Because you know, I think. You're right. I mean, there's. I'm sure Gary and I both have stories, you know, where people talk about things, and then it's the whiskey enthusiasts, which you know, hopefully we're trying to make our audience here. I mean, they do remember, you know, that one bottle of bourbon or that you know whiskey that was brought up or you know opened up at some occasion,
yeah,
and they'll remember the name of it, even, right. So it's good that I mean I love the concept and the story behind it. So
yeah, Steve.
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of true stories in the future.
I think over the few years we've been doing our podcast now, Steve. Yeah. That's one of Steve's main, you know, not selling points, but just themes when it comes to a new bottle. It's like he wants a story to be told or an adventure around that bottle, an occasion around that bottle, and that's how you remember it, right? You remember things more with your senses rather than just memorization. So that's big, and that's what I thought about when I saw the name True Story. But then when you kind of told that story about sitting on the campfire, like true story, like that example, it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's excellent. So I'm gonna try the rye now. Amberana and sherry cask finish. Again, this is 90 proof.
100 proof.
100 proof. I can't read. Actually, these glasses. 100 proof.
Yeah.
And we both love the Angel's Envy, but the rye to us is a little step up in our book. So the rye here, we're looking forward to. And again, this is how many years? Let's see, the same 5 to 6 years.
5 to 8 years.
5 to 8. So it's a blend. So this one's really unique. So if you look at the statement of contents on there, this is a blend of straight rye whiskeys that's been finished in Amarana and Sherry.
Okay.
So what that is we're blending Kentucky straight rye whiskey and Indiana straight rye whiskey. The Indiana is 95.5. It's coming from MGP. They're making an incredible rye.
Yes.
The Kentucky whiskey is actually coming out of New Riff. And it's 91.9, so 91 rye, 9% malt. So we're blending those two whiskeys together at the New Riff is the 8-year-old stuff in there. 6, 7, 8 year old, and then the MGP is 6 and 7, 5, 6, and 7. Blending those together, and then we're putting it in three different finishing barrels. So we got the Ambrana cask, so those are charred Brazilian hardwood Ambrana, PX sherry cask, and Oloroso sherry casks. Let those finish up to 12 months. The Ambrana is a little bit shorter, no more than 4 or 5, usually less than that. The PX and sherry will go longer, up to 12, and then we take out of those three barrels and we blend them together and get the product that you have now at 100 proof.
Yeah, I'll tell you right away. First, sorry, Steve, to step on your toes, but this first taste, this is right up my alley. Because a lot of times when you have the Ambrana, you know, when you have that, it's so overwhelming. Some of these finishes I've had.
Ambrana is tricky. You got to be careful with it,
right? But I think because of the sherry and the excellent job. I definitely like this one. But that was my first taste, so I got to get it. Steve, you okay over there, man? My man.
No, this snuck up on me. I mean, the palate was very, I think, subdued compared to the
nose is delightful.
You know, the bourbon there and the finished bourbon. But my God, the palate on here blows me away, and the finish is still there.
Yeah, it's so well balanced. Because your mind when you read Ambrana, you're expecting that like punch in your face and it's going to last.
And then you get tannic and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we added the other finishing barrels in there. Because, we knew that. Ambrana is a super unique and delicious food. You get tropical notes. You get spices. So you get a lot of things.
Spice, cinnamon. Yeah, so much in there.
But it's either overdone or unbalanced typically. Yeah. And that's why we brought in those other barrels, and then we just really, really manage our finishing program, and we've been doing it for 15 years.
You have that down. And I was going to ask you, like, how long did it take you to come up with these products in terms of this is what we're going to go with for True Story? Like, how long did that process
take? Terribly long, honestly, not terribly long. We bantered around probably 4 or 5 different finishes on the bourbon, and then honestly, the rye was a little bit easier. I mean, we knew we wanted to make something a little more unique, a little more out there, definitely finish forward rather than whiskey forward. So the bourbon is more whiskey forward with the finish behind it.
Right.
And the rye whiskey is definitely more finish forward, especially on the aroma.
Yeah. Definitely a great nose.
Feel there, but the nose is really that finish. And we knew we wanted to do that with the rye. So that's why we're like, all right, you know, we know we want to play with the Ambrana and have fun with that. What else can we bring to that? And we talked about a few different finishes, and we just settled on that sherry to make that balance work. You still have the spiciness, you have the sweetness, you've got the grain from the rye, you've got so many different things working together in harmony. But you know, you gotta be really careful. Adding too much stuff sometimes can get jumbled.
Yeah,
you've got to really manage how you're blending that and how you're balancing that profile so you can still pick out all the unique individual things going on.
This is a compliment, I'll say. With kind of a side note, my wife is not a whiskey drinker. I think she would like this.
Good.
I think she would like this.
I do agree, Gary. This is, I mean, it's 100 proof, but it tastes so balanced. And
he doesn't drink
for me, like with the Muscatel, the finish there, I really tasted that. My wife's a white wine drinker.
So is mine.
So. Especially in the summer, and then in the winter she goes to reds. But, but the rye here, I really picked out that PX sherry right away.
Oh yeah,
I mean it was like right there on my tongue. So
yeah, excellent.
And I can't wait to try it when I have a clearer head.
Don't drink it all, Steve. It's not going to cure your cold. Don't drink it all.
That's
not
put me to sleep tonight. Pretty good.
I'll take even with stuffy nose. You think it's good, so I know when you're cleared up. I love it even more.
The bourbon was much better on the nose, but I'm really enjoying the nose the rye.
I'm not gonna pick between the two, but the rye to me was unexpected because of maybe previously not great experiences with an Ambrana finish. So
you're biased. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of maybe my leader in the clubhouse, but I'll try some more like Steve said on a different day, but excellent. Two whiskeys. Great start. So that's the next, I guess, question. You know, what's next? You told us a little bit earlier about distribution, what your timeline is for these products.
Everyone always wants costs more. You can't just take the things you make and drink those and enjoy those. Gosh. But no, of course, there's always more. There's next.
The listeners want to know.
So, I mean, obviously the family's known for Finnish whiskeys with Angel's Envy, with now True Story. But what's really, you know, important for us is that we don't want to be caught in this, oh, well, they only make Finnish whiskey. They don't know anything about that. Right. Anything else, which is not true at all. I mean, you know, we distilled whiskey at Angel's Envy too. And you can't just take a garbage whiskey and finish it and make it good. You have to start with a good product.
Good product.
So whether it's sourced or in our case, you know, when then we eventually moved into our own production. So we'll be doing the same thing, but we want to showcase that as well. So we will be releasing unfinished products as well. Nice. Whether it's a bourbon, a rye, an American whiskey, you know, single malts, all kinds of things that are available. There's also other whiskeys available globally that we could play with. So there's always things that we're trying and experimenting with. But there is definitely a future release coming, you know, next couple of years.
Okay.
Focus right now, get these two beautiful packages out, you know, load some states. But yes, there's already experimentation going on both with unfinished and finished products. Yes.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Excellent.
You put in there. Yeah, just to plant a little seed in your head.
We like Irish whiskey. You know, my grandfather spent an inordinate amount of time in Japan. So with Brown-Forman, they had a distribution partnership with Suntory. Spent lots of time.
Yep.
You know, Taiwan, there's Australian whiskeys, Indian whiskeys, South African whiskeys.
Stay away from the Indian whiskey. Too peaty.
So this is
Paul John.
The Indian whiskey that is fully actual grain that's been barrel aged and isn't blended with grain neutral spirits. Some of that's really good. You got to be careful with Indian whiskey. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had bad experiences.
Yes. I was very fortunate in my career with Angel's Envy. Once Bacardi acquired the company, they let me travel around, visit many of their distilleries. I never actually got to make it to the Bacardi plant in India. It was on my ticket and just didn't really happen before I left. But I did try a lot of, you know, national Indian whiskeys or international Indian whiskeys, things that you may have had on the road and things like that. But I also had some very good whiskeys that were sent to me that were made locally, maybe only available in India, that were pure grain, barrel aged in a more traditional aspect that most, you know, most global people think of whiskey. And there's good
All
stuff.
Right. Keep so your mind open. Keep your mind open.
Keep it open, yeah.
Oh, very good.
I'm going to pick the rye. Sorry.
Steve is just like, I'm picking the rye. I mean, I kind of said that in a PC way, but.
Okay.
Enjoy the bourbon, though.
Yeah, we're looking forward.
These are also, you know, pretty affordable. The bourbon's a $59 price point, and the rye is $69. So we're not talking $100, $120, $130 a bottle. Yeah. You know, we want to make these, you know, accessible for retailers, for you going to your liquor store, your Total Wine, your ABC, your BevMo, Liquor Barn, whatever it may be. But also for bartenders. You know, if you want to go to your favorite cocktail bar, we didn't want a cocktail to be a $30 cocktail. You're not going to buy that.
Right.
And you know, I'll tell you, we had our launch media event last week, week and a half ago, whatever it was. Yep. And our bartender, we actually brought him out of Tampa, some Florida guy, that had worked with us on some other stuff. And he made an absolutely incredible cocktail with the rye. And it had pawpaw syrup, which is a kind of a regional fruit here in the area. Rose hips or something, and then we topped off with the rosé. So it was like a sparkling cocktail.
Interesting.
But the effervescence allowed that cinnamon and that spice to come through on the cocktail. It was so good. Nice. So you know, everyone talks about, oh, I only drink my whiskey neat, man. I don't care how you drink. I love cocktails.
Just drink it.
Once in a while, I love them too.
Ice cocktail, whatever your popsicle, whiskey popsicles. Which if you hadn't had, you got to do one. That's
the haven't time. Tried it.
Oh,
maybe whiskey, popsicle.
Popsicle. Got it.
I live in Tampa, so, you know.
A little tougher, yeah.
Well, no, it's a year round. It's warm, so, you know.
Well, yeah, you need the popsicle, but it also melts while you're standing there, so.
Yeah, exactly. So when, I know you said earlier about some release dates. When in Florida can we expect this as a statewide distribution?
You know, we haven't fully settled on the order of distribution. It's probably going to be quarter one, you know, January, February, March, likely. You know, the family's got a lot of connections with Florida.
Right.
East Coast. Know, the family's got a house down there. So,
Your dad talked about that. Yeah.
Actually, he's there right now.
I drive him and see him. No.
Yeah, he's relaxing. Hey, you know, he's
don't pop it.
Getting ready for the launch, so he's taking his time to relax before he gets busy, super busy on the road. So likely Florida will be like one of the first one or two markets next year.
Well, maybe he'll come by to Tampa area.
Nice. We'll be in Tampa for sure. One of my favorite bars in the area is Burns. Well, restaurants, but
yeah. No, the dessert room there.
Yes.
To me, is better than the actual restaurant, but that's
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean,
their collection of whiskeys is pretty elite.
You know? Yeah.
So they have good desserts too. So it's nice ambiance. Anyway, okay. So yeah, we're definitely looking forward to the release of True Story. But just a quick transition here to your family dad's property. Edgewood, I believe is the name of it. Recently is 150-acre property near Lexington.
In Versailles, near Lexington, yep.
Yep. So that possibly... that area is going to be the future site of your operations, distillery, etc.
So we'll actually back up a little bit. So about a year and a half ago, my dad bought a castle.
Right.
The Kentucky castle. So that may have been when he came on, right around that time.
It was, we asked him, like, what's new? And he kind of was playing coy about it. He did like, well, I can't, you know. I was like,
So he was in the middle of you know, we were just on buying a castle. So in Versailles, was a castle that was built in the 70s, and it's an operating hotel now. It's about 100-acre property. We bought that with the idea of making this bourbon experience integrated with the hotel. Hmm. And as we're ideating through all of this, we're like, oh, we could put a distillery out here. Hmm. We're looking at the campus and going, I mean, we could. There's space. We could do it. But it would be limited because we don't want to ruin the experience for the hotel and the hotel guests with the spa and everything else they have going on. And, you know, we were talking with the city, like, we want to bring something to the city of Versailles. You know, we already have the castle. Help us find some, you know, some areas to do this. And they go, actually, we, the city, have a lot of this acreage that is zoned industrial that we don't really have a use for. You know, we'll be parceling it off, selling it. It's 150, 160 acres, whatever it was. Would you be interested in doing something there? It's only 4 miles away from the castle. We went and looked at it and we're like, huh, it's flat. It's industrial. We can get water. We can get sewer. We can get power. We can get gas. It's on a rail line. Well, yeah, we're interested in that. So over the last year, we were negotiating with them, looking at, you know, how the property's been managed in the past. How can we combine parcels, making sure we have access to it. And we just closed on that last month.
Awesome.
The 150 acres. And that will be our manufacturing and predominantly our visitor experiences that aren't being hosted at the castle. So we'll have a distillery built there, a visitor center, restaurant, amphitheater, a lot of different ways to rick houses, barrel warehouses, of course. Overnight accommodations where people can stay, sleep with barrels while they're, you know, waiting to go on the tour the next morning.
That's him.
And that's very clear. Not literally with barrels. The government will not occupy a rick house.
On the barrel.
You got to be 150 feet plus away from the 200 feet away from the building, however many feet it is by code. So you can sleep with the window open, smelling the angel's hair blowing out. How about that?
Okay.
Nice. That's so cool.
But yeah, so obviously the distillery, one of the first things we're going to do there. We're wrapping up the design of it now. I just got my construction documents from our architect, and we're finishing the process design.
Nice.
So we'll be filing the development plan later this year, November, December. And then moving dirt in the spring, probably in March. Could get applied for site permits and all that.
Yeah. And then probably a couple years before it's up and running. Then I'm guessing.
Yeah. We're targeting January, February of 2027. So right around 2 years, which isn't bad. You know, give it 6 months to move the dirt, and then 18 months to pour concrete and build it up. But it's a good sized distillery. I mean, it's a 36 inch column. We paid our deposit on that column a year and a half ago. So Vendome, who makes most of the column distillation systems, I gave Rob a call. I said, hey, I want to get in line. I know you guys are busy. He goes, all right, here it is. You know, we need the deposit. We'll get the material ordered. It takes, you know, 12 months for the material even to come. It's coming out of Germany.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. So we got a deposit on that.
Yeah.
And so, 36-inch copper system. It'll produce about 60,000 barrels a year when it's operational.
Nice.
So we'll good volume available. Take one. It's
take one.
Oh, I have 59,999 left. We got less.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. For everybody else, we only want one. We're not greedy. A lot of jobs, I assume, for the area too. So that's awesome, pumping that into the local economy there. So, and yeah, giving everybody else our favorite juice, whiskey. So that's awesome. Yeah, we're looking forward to everything you and your family are going to bring us. But I mean, the juice, you know, that we've had tonight was excellent so far. Well, so we're just looking forward to the next thing, obviously, and getting a full bottle. Now, I want to, before we move off the true story, the bottle is unique. Who came up with that idea? Unique design?
The bottle shape in itself is unique. And then the way we call it the decoration, with the way we have done the finishes on it, you know, again, unique. So that hexagonal, if you look at the top of it, shaped like, we've got these facets. We wanted to go minimalistic, simple, but elegant. So, you know, as a team, we developed this shape. And so we got this bottle made, the glass bottle made, and we're looking at it. We put whiskey in it and go, oh, it's, you know, it's cool. It's a whiskey bottle. We can get some good labels talking about, oh, can we put the back of the label that has R on it, so when you look through the bottle, you can see it. And my dad and I went to a liquor store about a year ago, probably now, and we're looking down, trying to get ideas, like, what are other people doing? And we're looking at the shelf, and my dad goes, every bottle looks the same. Mm-hmm. And it's not the shape of the bottle, but you see brown whiskey and you see a white label or a black label or a green label. But realistically, looked on the shelf, it's kind of a wash of the same colors. Mm-hmm. So he went, well, I mean, how can we be different? And that's how we came up with this idea of, you know, could you make the whole bottle a color? And through over various iterations and ideations, we ended up coming with this black and white contrasting motif. Where you're on the shelf looking at this bottle, you see a black bottle with white lettering and a white bottle with black lettering, and it just stands out. It's so unique. If the bar is backlit, you look at the bar like you're behind you.
Yeah.
You got your bottle shining through. You put a black bottle or a white bottle there, it's almost a dead spot, and it draws your eyes to it and going, no light's coming through that. What is that?
Yeah.
If it's front lit, it stands out because it reflects the light. It stands out on the shelf, and it makes people go, what is that? And then you taste the whiskey and you go, oh my God, that's really good. And I'll buy it again and again and again.
Exactly. Outlier. It's very unique. And I haven't seen a bottle like that either. That's why I wanted to ask you that question, kind of where that, the origin of the design.
And that was done design. You know, the whole ideation was done by our internal team. You know, we've got a group of about 10 people internally that have worked together between family and some partners to kind of create this over the last 18 months. And it was a labor of love, a lot of give and take from everybody, but you know, the package is what it is. It stands for itself.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, great. Cool. I mean, that's, we appreciate your time so far, Kyle. Yeah. You know, your information you brought us, obviously the whiskey you sent us, we've enjoyed tasting the rye, and the bourbon, for a true story here. Can't wait to get our hands on a full bottle when it gets distributed next year, or the year after. So, we have a couple of quick hitters to get you out of here, if you're okay with that. And then we'll wrap it up.
Absolutely.
All right. Usually, our first quick hitter is, if you can think back, I know maybe for you, it's not as long as it was for us, but your first whiskey that you ever had legally.
Legally. Okay.
Yes. That's the caveat.
How about I give you both the one that wasn't and the one that was?
Okay, if you can remember. Well,
I remember my first one that I didn't. I was pretty young. I was like 10 or 11. I was at a bowling alley with my grandparents, my family, and my grandfather ordered a whiskey and ginger ale while we were bowling. And I had no idea. And I picked it up and drank it. And he turns at me and kind of laughs at me and goes, what do you think about that? And I went, this is awful.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just a ginger ale. So I oh, this is terrible. Like, it wasn't fine to drink alcohol. And just like, oh, this is awful. He goes, good. Now give me that back.
Yeah, good.
And so that was my first that I remember. And then the first time legally, let's see. So I turned 21 when we were back up here in Kentucky. That's a good question.
Mm. The one you remember.
Yeah, that I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like I didn't drink a ton.
Yeah.
I wasn't a heavy drinker or anything. So,
maybe the one that stood out in your mind that you,
I mean, honestly, really... so we filled our first port barrels for Angel's Envy the year that I turned 21.
Wow.
Like a few months after. So the one that really stands out for me was I was with my dad and my grandfather when we were filling our very first port barrels and tried some whiskey coming out of the barrel before it went into the wine barrel.
Wow.
That, like, and I've got pictures of it. It's like a, like one of those core memories.
Yeah.
One of the last times that all three of us were together working on the whiskey at the same time, honestly. That was cool. So I was legal. I remember it really well. And it, you know, it's something that developed into what you see
very
today.
Cool. Very yeah. Cool. Between all the different types of whiskey out there, rye, scotch, et cetera, what's your favorite go-to? Like if you had to
bourbon, you know,
type of whiskey or a brand
type of whiskey. Right. Type
I'll
of whiskey.
I'll go bourbon. Yeah. Bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's, we would pick too.
Bourbon. Right.
We pick that as well.
You're not the real Rye brothers. You're the real.
Yeah. Well, we dabble a little bit here and there. Yeah, I'm actually going to Ireland this weekend, so.
Okay, I don't mind some Irish whiskey, some good stuff.
Yeah. I think to me it's a lot closer to bourbon than scotch. You know?
Oh yes, I think so too.
Of course, so I like it.
Whiskey from Canada.
They also have an E. They have an E in there. It's important.
Right. Exactly. They spell it correctly.
Yes.
Exactly. What was good accent? Besides obviously True Story now, Angel's Envy in the past, excluding those two, do you have a favorite bourbon or rye that you?
Sure.
Not your own.
My go-to is Old Forester 100 proof. They used to call it Signature. I don't know what they call it now. I don't know if it's still Signature or not. Mm-hmm. Mainly because that's what my grandfather, like that I remember him drinking when he wasn't drinking Woodford Angel's Envy. It's affordable, like $20 a bottle. It's always available.
We love Old Forester.
Solid whiskey. They've been making it for 150 or whatever year, however long it's been. Consistent. It's a good product. Honestly, I always keep that on my shelf. Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Steve, do you have a quick hitter? Or we'll wrap it up then?
Yeah. I mean, so we like to appeal to the, you know, the whiskey enthusiast, you know, the novice.
Novice at whiskey.
No.
Curious whiskey enthusiast.
But curious enthusiast. What kind of advice would you give someone that is trying to start on this journey? Of course, you know, we're trying to help them along too by giving them, you know, some information about the industry and, you know, what taste and how to
their whiskey journey.
The whiskey journey. What kind of advice would you give a novice enthusiast?
That's a good one. Honestly, the first thing I would say is stay away from the hype. Because you get on Reddit, the blogs, the podcasts, whatever it may be. Oh, this new release, unobtainable. It's thousands of dollars. Yeah. You got to go in secondary market and buy. Stay away from that. There are hundreds of whiskeys that are available every day on your shelf. Old Forester Signature is a really good one. People walk over that and kind of ignore it. It's one of the best whiskeys on the market. Yep. I would highly recommend trying lots of things. And it doesn't have to be a $500 bottle of a Holy Grail whiskey. There are hundreds of bottles below $100 and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens below $50 that you can go and try, share with your friends, and have a really good experience and develop and try different things that you may not have thought before. This is going to sound really crazy. Things like Benchmark. Mm-hmm. Nope, you know, people, it was kind of a bottom shelf label. And it's still good whiskey. A lot of the bottle and bond stuff, Heaven Hill's putting out great whiskeys, and you just, oh, that's always, you know, that's $10. That's not any good. I'm not so sure. Like, that's pretty solid stuff. They make a lot of really good whiskey. Yeah. So that would be my advice is don't chase it. You know, see what's there.
Yeah.
The everyday stuff is everyday stuff for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they've been making it consistently for a long time.
It gets the job done.
Yeah.
All right, guy. Well, we appreciate your time tonight. We're going to wrap it up there unless you have anything else you want to chat about.
I'm sure I can talk for the next 10 hours.
No. So everybody listening again, Kyle Henderson, Director of Operations for Sega Spirits, again, with their new product coming out, True Story, finished rye and bourbon. They'll be coming out soon. Not that soon, but soon enough. So keep your eyes peeled. And we highly recommend both. I think both of our favorites, Steve and I, tonight was the finished rye, which was finished in Amberana and Sherry Cask. But don't sleep on the finished bourbon either. Hell cast that's finished in. But great bottles. They're going to be at a reasonable price, $56. Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled, everybody. Yeah. We highly recommend both of these. True story. And again, Kyle, thank you again for joining us tonight. We appreciate all your time, all your knowledge, and all your stories. Great family, great products, and we'll definitely be supporting you guys and rooting for you from our end. So thanks again for your time.
We appreciate that. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, Kyle.